Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Monday, and as Prince once famously sang, overcast days never turned me on. But even when it is overcast, at least you're in Green Bay, and the Packers are right there across the street at Lambeau Field, having meetings, not practicing today, but still in the throes of camp. But because there is no practice, I thought I'd just open up the floor to questions from you guys about anything and everything that has happened in camp so far. Clearly, it's weird to think, thinking back to the angst around Jordan Love's hold-in, and all of a sudden now coming off family night, the vibes are absolutely off the charts. It's funny how just a short week or two can change things a whole lot as far as the vibe around the team, in the fan base, etc. Of course, I know why you're all really here. It's the huge news that the Packers have released quarterback Jacob Eason, the fourth quarterback, shown the door. Packers about to embark on their preseason journey this weekend, starting in Cleveland. Obviously, Matt had spoken about the difficulties of getting four quarterbacks enough reps to make it worthwhile. Talked about that this offseason. I'm kind of surprised Eason stuck around as long as he did. Clearly, the Packers signed him as an arm when Jordan was holding in. But hey, they let him get out there for family night, have that experience, hopefully get some good stuff on tape for other teams to see. But no longer a member of the Green Bay Packers. Now the battle between Sean Clifford and Michael Pratt will begin in earnest, so to speak. I would suspect we'll see a lot of them, especially on Wednesday's practice and possibly Thursday. And then probably watching both of them get the bulk of the preseason snaps. I know Matt has been very non-committal when it comes to how much, if at all, Jordan's going to play in preseason, which is kind of funny to think about. Last preseason, he played so much in comparison to Aaron Rodgers before him. But now I think it's a legit conversation about whether you play him at all. So we'll see how that transpires over the course of this week and into the weekend. But Jacob Eason, we bid you adieu. Packers legend forever. Hello to everybody in the comments section. Hope you're all doing well. You guys know what I got to do. I got to give a shout out to our good friends over at Ticket King. That's right. Based in Wisconsin since 1992, Ticket King is located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida. They're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, from larger groups to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. Hell, they even have a drive-through window. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link on the Cheesehead TV homepage, in our app, or indeed in the description of this video. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of these national companies. Use a company based in Wisconsin since the early 90s, Ticket King, for all your Packer ticket needs. Hello to everybody in the comments. Hope you're all doing well. So good to see everybody. We got a bunch of super chats already lined up. What's going on, people? Brandy, how are you? Thanks for joining us. Are cutdowns done once or twice? I cannot remember. That is so funny you asked me that, because I legit just had this conversation on the sideline at camp practice the other day, and I can't remember either. They've changed it so many times, obviously during just kind of regular years, and then they changed it for COVID, and then they changed it back. I cannot recall. I believe it's twice still now, but I'm going to have to look that up and get back to you, because honestly, they have changed it so many times now, I can't remember. And I asked like two different people on the sideline the other day, and they couldn't remember either. So TBD, I'll let you know. Although somebody may Google it right now while we're chatting and let us know in the comments. Greg, thanks for the super chat, man. Is the family night stream available for a rewatch? That's a great question, Craig. As far as I know, it is not. Maybe, perhaps, they'll make it available at some point. I would suspect not now or ever. I know the football side there at 1265, not a big fan of it being streamed at all. I can't imagine they would allow it to be up there for anyone, i.e. scouts from other teams, etc., to just take a look at whenever they wanted to. So possibly someone, you know, maybe has it on DVR or recorded it off their computer, but I would suspect they will not have a kind of archived version on the Packers website anytime soon. Danny G, how are you? Thanks for being a Carry the G Club member. Who do you think has the edge at kicker? Anders absolutely terrifies me. I mean, look, I've spent the entire offseason saying if it's even, right, the nod's going to go to Anders. But right now, it's pretty clear that it isn't even, right? The fact that Joseph has been pretty lights out. Now, he did miss a couple there at family night, as did Anders. But, I mean, if you're looking just by the numbers, and especially the last kind of week or so, Joseph's been the better kicker. Now, that doesn't mean that Anders can't kind of pull back ahead, so to speak, throughout this week and into preseason, because I think the preseason games are going to mean a lot, probably carry a bunch of weight. And don't forget, the Packers signed or are reportedly signing another kicker. They officially announced the Eason release today, but we didn't see a kind of corresponding move in that transaction. So we'll see if and when they make that official. I know Rob had that over the weekend. But so I think they're going to let this competition play out. And right now, if you asked me, I think, yeah, it's hard to say that Joseph's not been the better guy. But again, it's the totality of the work. They'll give it most likely through at least one, if not two preseason games, I would suspect, and maybe even take it all the way through the preseason, all three of them. But yeah, I'd probably give the edge to Joseph. That's just me. Mimsy, thanks for the super chat. Well, we know why Rodgers loves RFK Jr., both self-proclaimed bear killers. Love to be in the Jordan Love era. Well, I'm not going to get too political here, but that was pretty good, Mimsy. I ain't going to lie. I'm going to give that a Korea clap. There you go. Well done. I'm impressed. Very, very impressed. Joey, thanks for the super chat. Is Kraft practicing this week? We will find out tomorrow morning. I know he posted to social media after family night saying, I'll see you soon. Matt was asked about him. I believe it was the last availability of last week prior to family night, talking about he's getting closer, but he was not anything close to committing to saying yes, 100% Kraft's going to be out there next week. It is very much in the hands of the medical team. Feels like next week is, or this, I'm sorry, tomorrow, starting this week, is probably where we will see him. Now, I don't know if that means tomorrow or sometime later, Wednesday, Thursday, etc. But even if he is activated tomorrow, say, and he has the whole three practices prior to the preseason game, I'll be shocked if he's out there for preseason. I'll be very surprised if he does much of anything in teamwork throughout the week. So we'll see. I mean, I didn't think Jordan Love was going to jump right in there either, and he most certainly did. So who knows what's going on behind the scenes. But hopefully we see Tucker Kraft out there tomorrow morning. Peter, thanks for the super chat. Hey, Aaron, not a camp question, but wondering if anyone discussed teams using new technology like AI to gain any competitive advantage. Not publicly, Peter. Nothing that I've seen or read or heard about, but I wouldn't be surprised if there are teams dabbling in that sort of thing. I mean, for any number of reasons and any number of areas. But as far as openly, publicly, I haven't seen a whole lot of discussion about that. But it is an interesting question that maybe I can ask Brian Gutekunst if we get a availability this week, which we should because we haven't heard from him for a while. Joey, thanks again, man. Packers making moves to sign Family Night Kid. There you go. That's going to be the corresponding move. No question about it. Shout out to the Wapon Kid. Come on now. Chris, how are you? Thanks for the super chat. Counting Crows for the Packers kickoff concert. I mean, I'm down with Counting Crows. I'll be surprised if anyone under the age of, 35 knows who they are, but I'm down with them. They were big when Corey and I were in North Carolina back in the day. Saw them at, I can't remember the name of the venue in North Carolina, but saw them. They are phenomenal live. Great lyricist, great music. I'm down with it. Abdul, how are you? Thanks for the super chat. Hey, Aaron, who gets most catches this year? What about TDs? And yes, this is definitely a fantasy football question. Always got to draft a Packer. Yeah, you and me both. It's kind of my Achilles heel. Because then what you want to do in fantasy is like diversify your portfolio, right? I'm always loading up on Packers. It's bad. It's just bad for my team. But I can't help myself. As far as your question goes, your blatant fantasy football question, I did see somebody put the numbers to AI and had kind of like a prediction of who was going to do what. As far as most catches, Corey and I talked about it on transplants this offseason. I still maintain what I said then, which is Jaden Reed is probably going to maybe not set another record, but he's going to catch a ton of footballs in this offense. No question about it in my mind. As far as most TDs, I still think it's going to be Christian Watson. I do think he's going to stay healthy enough to be out there and be productive on a consistent basis, which is going to allow him to get into the end zone and get a lot of those 50-50 balls that Jordan trusts him with. I do not doubt for a moment that, guys like Romeo Doubs, Dontavian Wicks, even the Bo Meltons, and maybe even the Grant DuBoses of the world will have their moments. But to me, Christian Watson is a touchdown machine. And if he stays on the field, which I know, I understand, is a big if, he's going to produce. No question in my mind. But Reed is the one who will benefit the most from opportunity. Like, as far as just in the straight up slot role that he excelled in last year, but they are clearly not hesitant to put him on the perimeter. They will even give him kind of the touch pass thing on the end around action. So he's going to get a ton of touches. There's zero doubt in my mind. And hell, he may even get a few right just traditionally out of the backfield, like a swing pass or something like that. So I would definitely go with Reed. Chris says, I am under 35. I am 25. So there you go. Well, yeah, but okay. But you said Counting Crows for Packers kickoff concert, but you could have just read that. That doesn't mean you know who they are. A kid because I love that the youth is listening to quality music always. Goodness knows it's really hit and miss with my daughters. So Steve, Caleb Jones will be needed for the Counting Crows concert. Do you mean like to stand on or to sit on his shoulders so you can see? Maybe. Speaking of Caleb Jones, how about Caleb getting some snaps with the ones on family night? Now, it was brief. It was, I think, maybe 4 or 5 plays, but man, I really hope he gets a chance this week to run a little bit more with the ones at right tackle. Although Matt did say after family night that Zach Tom should be making his kind of debut in teamwork this week, which will obviously be a boon to the offense. But I still hope, while they're working Zach Tom in, hopefully, they do a bit of a rotation there and get some of those, guys down the pecking order, so to speak, a little bit more experience and a bit of an opportunity, because I do think Caleb can excel there, and I think he can help them and be that swing tackle that they need. But he's got to be given the opportunity to do so. And hopefully, like I said, we see more of that throughout this week. Samari Torre, Brenton Cox, where are they now? Probably in that building behind me, actually. But yeah, hey, Torre's been active on special teams. I'll give him that. And when given opportunities with the twos and threes, with quarterbacks obviously that are other than Jordan Love, he's been producing. Now, he's been getting a few balls, throughout the week of practice, and then he will certainly be back there in the rotation for the punt returners. So he's got opportunities. I can't say that he's really kind of flashed very much, but he's certainly there. As for Brenton Cox, I think he's been, I'm not going to say a pleasant surprise, but I did wonder how he would transition to this new scheme, having his hand in the dirt, because I thought he was really effective last year standing up and both rushing the passer, setting the edge, but also turning his hips and getting upfield in coverage. But he's looked very comfortable with his hand in the ground and pushing the pocket, making things happen, being disruptive. I mean, I don't know how much that portends him getting playing time, because he's got 4 pretty solid options in front of him on the depth chart, and that's not any fault of his, obviously, but I think it's going to be hard for him to crack the rotation unless somebody gets hurt, which, of course, you don't want. Kyle, thanks for checking out the stream on Twitter. What time do you recommend getting there for camp? If you're talking about camp practice, the practices start at 10:30. Corey and I, back in the day, we would get there at 6:30. Now, that's because we're geeks and we're total, absolute obsessives and wanted to make sure we got the seats we wanted to get. If you're less inclined to wait 4 hours for a practice, if you're there a couple hours in advance, you'll get a decent seat. One word of warning, though. They've been mixing up where the ones kind of get after it scrimmage-wise. Like, sometimes it's down by the rush center. Sometimes it's way down at the other end. Sometimes it's right in the middle. So don't assume just because you've got a seat in the middle that you're going to see everything, because it's been kind of all over the place. So just find a good seat where you can see most of the field. It would be my recommendation there. After the bad snap on family night, what will it take for folks to realize long snaps are as important for balls going through goalposts? I don't think anyone is under any illusions, Richard, after losing that playoff game against San Francisco the way they did. And I know that wasn't a bad snap, but it was because the long snapper was pushed into the path of the ball and was block occurred. Long snapper is a very important thing. It's got to be consistent, right? There's no doubt that having that consistency from that position is of paramount importance for the operation, for your consistency. You've got to be able to do it and get forgotten about because the only time you are mentioned is, as you're saying, when a snap flies over the holder's head. I don't think anyone thinks otherwise. Torre caught a few passes at family night. Yes, yes, Steve, he did. Matthew, how are you? Greetings from across the pond. Bears still suck. So excited now. Green Bay Packers, nothing more. Go Pack, go. I love it. I love it. John, I didn't get to watch, but who impressed you the most on family night? That's a good question. You know, it's hard not to say Romeo Doubs because he was everywhere and he caught everything and he beat everyone, whether it was Jair, whether it was Nixon, whether it was Stokes. The man has a great connection with Jordan, and Jordan clearly trusts him implicitly. So, yeah, it's difficult not to say Doubs, but I will say I thought Bo Melton had a really good night, and I don't think he had big splash plays or anything like that, nothing that you're going to clip and put on social media, but I thought he had a really good night and showed a lot of consistency. And what's interesting is that he is probably in a bit of a battle with Grant DuBose, I would think, given how well DuBose has been in practice up until family night, where I didn't see a whole lot of him. But we talked about that a little bit in our post-practice chat on Saturday. You know, the staff is going to look at everything, and family night certainly gets pumped up, but it is still just a practice, another practice in a long line of them in a very different environment. So it's like, yeah, the guys have a good night, then it's great. A lot of people see it, but it is also about what they've done up till now, what they do from now through preseason. There's a long way to go yet. But yeah, those two guys specifically definitely kind of caught your eye. Hey, Nags, it's Aaron. It was nice meeting you at training camp last week, Thursday. Aaron, how are you, buddy? Thanks so much for saying hello. I had so many people say hello this weekend during family night festivities. Love it. Absolutely love you guys saying hello, talking about Cheesehead TV and how you utilize it to connect with the team. Really means the world to me. Thank you so much. Pack Daddy, any band would be okay except Chicago. That's a fair assessment, though. I am a Chicago fan. I do love me some 25 or 64 Saturday in the Park. Come on, let me some Chicago. Let me see. Everyone's chiming in with like bands they've seen. We got Soder here, who saw Quiet Riot at Club Zodiac in Middleton, Ohio, back in the early 2000s. I mean, Quiet Riot in the early 2000s? I mean, I saw Night Ranger, but that was at Brown County Arena back in the day, like in 84, 85. In their heyday, Quiet Riot in the early 2000s. Whew, man, that must have been a scene. War Avenger, what's up? Is it football season yet? I've been waiting 3 years for this, or so it seems. Does feel awfully, awfully long since we saw a Packers football game. And that is the problem with the NFL. The offseason is so damn long. No doubt about it. What else we got here, folks? Timo with the Charles Woodson pull. Good squad. I'm thinking Super Bowl. I like it. It does have that kind of vibe, right? The whole thing around the Packers right now is just, I'm not going to say it feels inevitable. It's not 96 when they're on the cover of Sports Illustrated and being predicted to go to the Super Bowl. It ain't quite there yet, right? But it is rocket ship pointing up, like all signs, all systems go. Feels really good around Green Bay right now. No doubt about it. Preston, how's Luke looking? Luke Musgrave? He's looking good. They haven't really utilized the tight ends in the passing game a whole lot so far in camp. And I know Spoon asked Matt about that. Either it was family night or the last practice. And Matt said, you know, that's not, you know, anything that's been kind of by design as far as, well, we're not going to throw to the tight ends. It's just they've just finished up the install. So now we'll see some more kind of mixed up calling period. So I would suspect we'll see more from Luke in the passing game. But he's looked good. He's looked solid. He just hasn't had a ton of opportunities. There was one a couple practices ago in the red zone work where he dropped what was a beautiful throw from Jordan Love. Should have been a touchdown. So, but then turnabout is fair play. Jordan missed him on what should have been a walk-in touchdown on a tight end screen during family night. So they'll get on the same page. I have zero doubt. Brandy, Soder, I had a Quiet Riot cassette tape stuck in my player. My cougar. Oh, I love it. kid catching the punts. You got to love it. Mike Witt, what am I going to do with that Eason jersey I bought now? I just wait till someone else gets signed and is assigned number 7 and then just kind of alter it, I guess. That's what you do. That's what you should do. Julia, this is a great question because I have seen this asked a few times, and I think someone kind of alluded to this in my family night chat. Do you buy into the conspiracy that Wicks wasn't getting reps slash catches because the team wants to keep him under wraps? No, absolutely not. I mean, he was there in drill work. He did a Lambo leap after a touchdown, for God's sakes. I mean, they're not doing a very good job of keeping him under wraps, if that's the idea. That's just the internet going crazy. Just because he didn't have a ton of stuff, maybe 1v1 in the team stuff, people are like, oh, they're keeping it quiet. No, it's just the way the progressions fell, and he just wasn't involved, and that's fine. He's also had 2 insane catches just this past week in some of the team stuff, right, over there at Radnitsky Field. He's had a very, very good camp. Just because he was Clyde on family net doesn't mean they're like suddenly like, oh, don't show him. Don't show the world. I mean, we know what he is. He's a really good receiver. The whole world knows that. So, yeah, that's just people being like disappearing up a internet rabbit hole of their own design. Abdul, thanks for the super chat. Are we Super Bowl contenders or are we still 1 year away? Oh, Abdul. The Packers are 100% Super Bowl contenders. And I understand the defense is a wild card. There is zero doubt about it. But I feel pretty confident sitting here, having seen what I've seen so far from Jeff Hafley's group, that they will be a better unit than they were last year. When, don't forget it, they were a couple games away from the Super Bowl. That's going to be a better side of the ball. That side of the ball is going to be better this year. The offense should take another step. There is zero reason for this team not to be considered a contender. Unless they don't figure out long snapper. But other than that, yes, they are a Super Bowl contender this year. Absolutely. Mike, thanks for the super chat, man. The guy that stood out to me when I went to practice was Waylon. He was really booming them. Sorry, Corey, for praising a punter. LOL. What was funny is that he did not have that, not that great, but he didn't have like an outstanding family night. He certainly had, a handful of punts that he'd probably like to have back. But a lot of that, you're working on directional stuff. You're working on stuff in general. So who knows what he's being asked to do there. But I agree with you. He has had some really impressive days over there at Radnitsky Field. He seriously has improved as far as the directional stuff. He had a handful of coffin corner punts, like classic old school, just get it into the corner, have everyone surround the guy, make sure he has nowhere to go. He had a couple of those the other day. And I know it's something that Bisaccia talked about that he has been working on. They punted a lot on family night. They had like a long, elongated punting period. So hopefully he never has to punt that much in one stretch ever in his career. What else we got? Abdul again, what's up, man? What are you more confident of? Defense actually playing well or Love playing like the latter part of last season? Oh, you know this answer. That's Love playing like he was towards the end of last year. Man, I'm excited about the defense and I think they will be better, but I've been hurt, Abdul. I got scars. My heart been torn apart by the Green Bay Packers defense. Do you remember Aaron Rodgers into a microphone after they beat the Bears in week 1, Matt LaFleur's first game, saying we got a defense? And it turns out they didn't. Got a long way to go. I'm excited about the defense. We got a long way to go before I'm like confident in the defense. There's a difference. Frank, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. I've heard that Slayton is getting the majority of work with the ones over Wyatt. Is that us saying more about Slayton's play or lack thereof on Wyatt? That's a fair question, Frank. I do think they really like what he brings as far as being a monster of a man who can do what they're asking as far as getting upfield quickly, having those havoc-inducing plays, but also is able to kind of absorb double teams and let those linebackers flow on running downs, right? I'll be interested to see how much that rotation maintains itself. Probably don't think we'll see a lot of the starters throughout preseason, but certainly in week 1 against the Eagles and going forward, I think we're going to see a whole ton of Wyatt in this defense. But Yeah, I think Slayton's had a really strong camp, and I think they really like him. So, yeah, we'll see how long that maintains itself, so to speak. And look, you want waves along the defensive front, along your defensive line. You want fresh bodies constantly in and out, especially wanting to keep your best players, i.e. Kenny Clark, healthy and fresh for the fourth quarter, right? Wyatt's going to be a big part of that. So we'll see, like I said, if that maintains itself into the regular season. But right now, I think, yeah, Slayton's got a decent hold on that job, and I think he's earned it. He has played extremely well so far. What else we got here, folks? What else we got? Brad, appreciate the super sticker. Thank you so much for the support. Joe, thanks for the super chat, man. Saw a still shot of defense at family night with 10 defenders within 5 yards of the line. Will take some getting used to. It will, but don't forget, there will be lots of calls where guys aren't pressed up, right? You're never going to be completely crowding the box or pressing the receivers on every call. That's an easy way to get beat. But you are going to see, I mean, Steno talked about it when we talked to him last week during availability. The number one thing he said as far as noticing a difference between Barry's defense and Halfley's defense is the number of defensive backs in the box towards the line of scrimmage, making things a little bit more difficult for you out of the gate rather than giving you kind of free rein off the line of scrimmage, right? So I think that is going to be noticeable, no question about it. Wyatt is a gamer, though, says Pac Daddy. I agree. I think, you know, there's a lot of hand-wringing because he's a first-round pick and because he's not with the starters, suddenly it's a failure. I've seen that expressed, which I always find interesting because it's a long-term investment, and I understand that you want immediate results, especially for a player who was older, especially a lot older than they traditionally like to select in the first round. But they wanted help along their defensive line, and they've gotten it for 2 years, and I think they'll continue to do so. Now, is he the game wrecker maybe fans were hoping for? Not so far. He could be. Could end up being that in this defense for sure. But this rush to condemn the pick or the selection just because he hasn't turned into some instant star, I always find that kind of funny, especially if you know anything about how the Packers operate, wanting to have long-term investments in that first round, especially. That's just how they operate. And so far, the investment, I think, is paying off. Now, it's not paying off probably as dynamically as some fans would prefer, but I think they're on the right track there. Joe, oh my gosh. Like, I know, like, there's lots of people talking about, like, concerts that they've seen. Joe just said, Muddy Waters opening for Eric Clapton at Chicago Stadium in 1979. That's a fucking bill right there. Holy cow. You must have had a ball. Todd, that's a good question. Do I understand correctly that Rashawn will return to playing the position in this defense he played at Michigan? It's not necessarily the exact same. He will be having his hand on the ground, much like he did at Michigan. Now, the scheme itself is kind of different. It's a 4-3, which means the four down linemen up front, of which he is one. That is similar to what he was asked to do in Michigan. But as far as the scheme and what they asked those guys to do up front on the edge, it's, I'm not going to say significantly different, but it's a little different. You know, they're not exactly the same, but it is more similar to what he did in college. Of that, there's zero doubt. TKM, good to see you at your post, man. Nags, Ravens preseason game? No, sir. I will be doing watch parties for all the preseason games. That's right. We have ever, I don't think, done a preseason watch party, but I will be doing watch parties for all three preseason games this year from the comfort of my home in New York. So I hope you guys will join me because it'll be a lot of fun. Mike, thanks for the super chat. The key question is, does Brandy Lewis like Halfley? This has been discussed on Happy Hour, and I think it's going to be roughly four or maybe five games, and then Brandy will fall in love. Right now, she's hesitant. I do not doubt for a moment she's going to kind of have a wait-and-see attitude, but so far, so good. I will say that. Camo, thanks for the super chat. I don't care who wins the kicking job. Just be consistent. I got to imagine that's where most Packers fans are living right now. I mean, Anders was very frustrating last year, but again, talking about investments, you made the investment. You lived through that. you really hope he continues to improve and you become and becomes your long-term kicker, right? Like, otherwise, you kind of just wasted a year. But if Joseph is clearly more consistent throughout the rest of camp, there's a good chance he gets the gig, no doubt. Manva, thanks for the super sticker. Appreciate you. Extended office hours for Nags today. Well, you know, I've got an appointment at 5:30. Other than that, I'm just chilling. So I thought I'd hang out for a little longer today. Oh, stop. First concert ever, 1979, saw AC/DC open for UFO in Dubuque, Iowa for $13. Back in the day, man. This is true. I saw Night Ranger at the Brown County Arena for free because I won tickets off WIXX. Shout out, Green Bay. Going to Green Bay for the first time. Any recommendations doing the stadium tour? Oh, definitely do the stadium tour. Definitely hit up the Packers Hall of Fame since you're doing the tour already. I think they have a package deal where you can do both. Do not miss the Packers Hall of Fame. It's just outstanding. And then, yeah, hit up Titletown, man. There's lots of cool, fun stuff to do. And then if you want to explore some of the wider kind of areas of Green Bay, absolutely look into the Heritage Trail. I think you can get the tickets there at the Hall of Fame. But it, you know, it marks out really important points in the Green Bay area, around the local area, regarding the history of the team and where important events that, you know, happened throughout the history, the 100-year history of the franchise. It's really fascinating, and the curation of it is outstanding. I can't recommend it enough. Oh, wow. Mike Witt, first concert ever, Bon Jovi and Extreme opened up for them. You know, I'm sensing a theme of the type of people that are checking out this chat, man. These concerts are of a type, and I am absolutely loving it. It's so good. Uriah Heep with Ted Nugent. Wow. Outstanding. Now we got people with local radio stations. WAPL, Rockin' Apple. I love it. Absolutely love it. When did we start expecting our place kickers to make every kick? I remember when kickers made 75 to 80%, and that was considered good. Yeah, Mr. JJ. And then, like, you know, time kept moving, and then other kickers around the league, lots of other kickers around the league, became, if not automatic, because no one is, pretty damn close. You know, it's hard when you're seeing lots of other teams with kickers who have a much higher percentage, and your rookie is missing. Now, he missed field goals, but he missed a lot of extra points, and those are supposed to be the gimmies. So I get that it's frustrating, right? Like, I understand patience, and he's certainly in context of, say, you look at Mason Crosby, his first year as the kicker for the Green Bay Packers. You know, it's not incomparable percentages wise, but I understand the frustration when you see how, maybe again, not automatic, but how much more consistent things are in other franchises. And I mean, you're also coming off having Mason Crosby there for 16 years or whatever it was, leading scorer in franchise history, bedrock of consistency for the most part of his career. You know, yes, probably a little spoiled, but also that's the standard, right? That's a standard we've gotten used to. It's kind of like a quarterback. Packers fans have gotten used to a standard at that position. And hopefully Jordan and Anders will maintain those. Oh, Aaron Harper saw Ozzy, Scorpions, and Ugly Kid Joe at Alpine Valley. Man, Alpine Valley, what a venue. That is a great place to see a show. I saw a double bill of Don Henley and Sting at Alpine Valley. I think that's the last show I ever saw there. Just a great place to see a gig. William, what's up? Do you prefer McCarthy or LaFleur's camp better? Why does this feel like this is LaFleur, like, on a burner account? Totally selfishly, McCarthy's, because A, there were more practices, more opportunities to see the guys on the grass. And McCarthy had nighttime practices every once in a while, which are the fucking best. Matt, you know, not as much time on the grass, not nearly as many public practices. I think, what are we down to, 12 now? Back in the day, it was like 25. You know what I mean? Like, and I understand, work smarter, not harder. They're certainly doing that. And I think Matt has shown his camp style, so to speak, works really well, especially because he knows what buttons to press, when they need to kind of work the guys a little harder, when to pull back, give them rest and recovery, etc. No, I'm not arguing with the results, but purely selfishly, both as someone covering them, making content about them, but also just as a pure fan, McCarthy's, just because there was a whole lot more to feast on. That's all. What a question. Who did you believe in more, Janice or Aberderis? I got to say, I didn't really believe in either one of them too much, but probably Janice, just because he had the pelts on the wall, right? I mean, for all his drops or issues with route running, whatever you want to point to, I mean, he's also had some fucking monster plays in big, big moments. So hard not to have a little belief, right? You know, a little kindling and light that fire and turns into a flame. Who knows? Who knows indeed? Pac Daddy, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. If you could go back in time, what's the one band you'd want to see in all their glory? Oh, Queen. Not even close. My daughter and I, my youngest, Olive, she's a huge Queen fan. Like, I don't know how that happened. She's a monster Queen fan. And they re-released the 78 or 79 show up in Quebec. They re-released it in IMAX, and we got free press passes to go. And we went, and it was fucking amazing. I mean, it was incredible. And then that was just a movie, right? Like, Freddie Mercury, the height of his powers. I'd give anything to see that. Greatest frontman ever. No question. Have I ever downed a few shots before doing your show, Joe? No. However, I have certainly done a show or two in the bag, especially during COVID. I believe we had a Drunk Cheese recurring show during lockdown because I was just in my apartment by myself hanging out. So, yeah, maybe once or twice, but not shots. Definitely not that. Let me see. What else we got? Triumph was one of the best shows I ever saw. Rick Emmett can really sing. I'll bet. I saw Queen at the Beacon Theater in 76. The Beacon? Oh, what a great venue. What a great venue. I saw Willie Nelson there. Outstanding show. The Beacon's such a great place to see a show. Oh, my God. I can't believe you saw Queen there. Oh, that's awesome. Oh, wow. Carl saw Kenny Loggins with America opening at Alpine Valley. Now, that's a gig. That is a gig right there. Absolutely love it. All right, buddy. I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.